The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. We do not really care. We're not particular about how you take us in, just as long as you're doing it one way or the other, which you obviously are, because you're listening to us right now. So thank you for that. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin, my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey-o.
Kelly Bidley, as some call him. You losing some back call. That vacation weight? You losing it back?
A little bit. I'm not back to pre-vacation weight.
This hour, Jason Weingart will join us. JVT. How about that? Jonathan Von Tobel, moments before he joined Stormy for Money Moves, he will be on with us to discuss the NBA.
Yeah, we're doing a little crossover action today. I'll be hopping on their show as well to talk some golf later.
We call that crosstalk in the business.
Yeah.
There you go. Speaking of golf, we'll get to that here momentarily. I just want to read this one tweet. This is from Vegas Regular. As a Lakers fan, he said, losing Byron Scott in Game 1 and Magic Johnson in Game 2 of the 1989 NBA Finals will always be the worst of the worst when it comes to injuries in the playoffs. May have prevented a three-peat. I'm going to say that KD and Klay beats that. KD rupturing his Achilles and Klay Thompson blowing out his knee.
Oh, yeah.
Preventing the Warriors from a fifth championship. Yeah. In which could have been a run for
some. Oh, I lost so much money on that. Oh,
it was just brutal. It's just brutal. But I hear you on 1989 as well. This is interesting here. The Lakers have a job listing. This is not a joke. The Lakers have put out a job listing. This is a public job listing, correct?
Yeah.
They have a job listing for their head strength and conditioning coach. So, in case you want the job of getting Luka Doncic into shape, here you go. You can apply for it. Their head strength and conditioning coach for the Los Angeles Lakers. Department Strength and Conditioning. Reports to Director Player Performance and Health. How about that?
Also, if Luka's in bad shape, who gets fired then? This guy or Player Performance and Health?
Maybe the guy you report to. So maybe this is
Player
a cush,
Performance
maybe
and
this is a cush gig, Kelly.
I'll tell you, I think it flew under the radar a little bit, but when Dallas got bounced from the playoffs, I believe the whole department got fired in Dallas.
Oh, is that what they
did? Yeah, like they cleaned house.
By the way, I'm bearing the headline on this. You see the salary for this? Head strength and conditioning coach and the fine print there?
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of that. It also caught my eye.
$250,000 a year for the Lakers head strength and conditioning coach job.
You feel like that's high or low?
I think if you had asked me, I probably would have gone lower than that. I would have said lower six figures.
I think if you would have asked me, I would have gone a little higher.
Really?
I mean, it's the Lakers and NBA job. This ain't no joke job.
I didn't say it was. I have a bad guess then.
I mean, these teams got a lot of money. Whoever owns the Celtics these days just paid $6 billion for them.
So they paid what now?
Like $6 billion for that team.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. That was crazy, huh? For a basketball team? What do you think you are? The Washington Skins? What do you think you are?
It's funny because the salary thing did jump out to me immediately, too, but that was the... I like having those conversations of like, do you feel like that's a little low or a little high?
No, I totally would. I mean, not that I ever think about it, but if you had asked me, I would have said half that.
I should have kept it hidden and asked that question.
But now that I think about it, you're right. It's a stupid guess because it is the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, absolutely right. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is now, don't you? It's time to go country clubbing. I love that. We should have a camera pointed the other way.
Yeah, I see like four lights going back. Oh, the whole crew's getting involved.
So what we have is our crew behind the dark glass. They put up their lights, which I guess is what the kids do in the clubs these days.
Nobody has lighters anymore.
Right. So they just put up their phones. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So country clubbing, ladies and gentlemen, but not just any edition of country clubbing. It's a golf major, PGA Championship. Let me say that again. PGA Championship, Quail Hollow, Charlotte, North Carolina. Where Xander Schauffele, now remember with the PGA, it's a different course every year, but Xander Schauffele shot a 21 under last year. Where was it last year?
Valhalla,
that's right. 21 under to cash as a 14-1 preflop shot on that. Look at the names again. We mentioned this the other day. The PGA Championship, it used to be like the, you know, when it was the last major of the year, it was like the Jimmy Walkers of the world. And the David Tomses of the world used to win this thing. But the last 8 years, Justin Thomas 2017, Koepka 2018, Koepka 2019, Morikawa 2020, Mickelson 2021, JT again in 2022, Koepka again in 2023, and Xander last year. So a who's who, if you will. Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, on the PGA Championship 2025.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is it also plays into what courses they've been playing this at, Gil, and it has been, this is kind of turned into, if US Open's turned into the toughest test of golf overall, the PGA Championship a little bit over the past few years has turned into, all right, who's like length? We're going to design super long golf courses. Who can go out there and beat those? And that's where we got at Quail Hollow. You see Quail Hollow every single year, Wells Fargo Championship usually. We talked about this last week, been renamed to another bank. I think it was Wachovia way back in the day, then Quail Hollow, and now we're on to Truist. Okay, just banks changing hands, Gil. So we are at Quail Hollow this year. This is a golf course that we see every single year on the PGA Tour, so we do have a lot of data to back this up. It is the fifth most predictive annual golf course, so that's something to keep in mind, Gil. I think also one of the interesting things, if you are doing some of your own stat modeling at home or handicapping at home, we talk about approach every single week and how it is the most predictive stat to success on the PGA Tour. Off the tee performance at Quail Hollow is just so barely behind it, Gil. It is almost as important as approach. So you were really...
We always show this video, and I'm usually like, oh, look at that. Majestic. This course looks lame.
It's funny you bring this up because it does get some criticism because it is kind of they call it an easy walk because you finish one hole in the tee box, the next tee box is right next to it, but everything's, you'll hear this term in golf, everything's out in front of you, Gil.
Yeah,
it's out in front of you. You can kind of see where you're driving the ball, you see where you're hitting your approach shot. There are some dog legs on some of these holes these guys will have to deal with, but it is one of those courses that there's not a whole lot. You only got six holes where water comes into play. 61 bunkers is pretty light, although they are strategically designed around the greens. One thing to keep in mind, I want to go over field size and cut size real quick. 156. We are dealing with a full field event here. This is not the Masters. You do get 156 guys teeing it up. Top 70s in ties. That is the, I believe this is the only major where you get top 70 in ties and not top 65 in ties. So keep that in mind for DFS or make miss cut stuff. All that does come into play. One of the, really the only significant difference in my handicapping of this golf course this year, Gil, was you'll notice if you're watching at home, that rough length. The rough is usually around 2 inches when they play the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow. They are growing that out a bit. Now, why I say that is because you used to be able to attack Quail Hollow just with looking for guys with distance off the tee, and accuracy didn't matter as much. It was a little bit of a bomb it and then figure it out once you're down there sort of course. I'm interested to see if the extended rough makes this a little bit more difficult for guys needing to be a bit more accurate this week. So something to keep in mind if you are doing your own handicap at home. There are three par fives on this course. It is a par 71. You got to score on the par fives. It is score on the par fives, survive the rest. The par threes are extremely difficult. You're going to see guys lose shots there. But this is really, it's a test of length here. Off the tee and then long iron play is going to be tested as well, especially for those guys that are not bombers like Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau. There is no course, this will lead me right into my bet, first bet, Gil. There is no course where any golfer has had more success at since 2014 than this course and Rory McIlroy. And where I'm not hating on Scottie Scheffler at all this week, you got Scheffler coming in off a win. You got Bryson DeChambeau coming in off a win. Rory coming in off that Masters win just a few weeks ago. You've got a lot of guys coming in. Justin Thomas picked up a win a few weeks ago. I think there's a lot of high-level players coming in at peak form right now that we talked a bit about this yesterday. I think we have a great golf tournament in store for us. I think if you're looking for outright hits further down the board, this is not the tournament to be doing it at. So I'm on Rory this week. I went right back to him. Played him over a little over 5-1, plus 525. I'm in on Rory as an outright, backing that up with a top five to cover that. And I'm in on Bryson. I think this is a course that Bryson should have a ton of success at. His off-the-tee numbers recently are insane. He's got 2 wins in a row, I believe it is, on LIV coming into this. And what he's doing off the tee, he's gaining over 4 strokes over the field. And that is on LIV, so something to keep in mind, smaller fields. But what he's doing off the tee right now, what he's known to do for basically the past 5 years, it's been incredible, sets up perfect for this golf course. And the biggest difference between Bryson and Scotty and Rory, Gil, is Bryson can just putt better and more consistently. And that this is a course where putting will come into play. So I went with those two shorter shots. And then I did play Justin Thomas last week, over last weekend at 22-1. The number's not very different though right now. Anything in the 20s, I still like on JT. He's won at this course before. His last three times are top 20, T21 or better at this course. He was my third rated golfer in my models this week. Really strong approach performances recently. The putter has been working for JT. The one concern I have for him is this season he's been spraying it a bit off the tee. Does that rough come into play? How much trouble does that give him? That's my only concern with JT, but I do really like him this week. Let's see, moving on to placement markets. Xander Schauffele and Corey Connors, two of the golfers I'm actually some of the most invested in this week. I love Schauffele's top 20 price. I think he's really rounding into form. You're catching him into the height right now. Remember, he came off that rib injury in the wintertime. It took him a little bit of time to get back into form. I think we're seeing Xander getting close to what he was a year ago. So at just minus 115 to play a top 20 on him, I love that price. Connors, I played in the top 20 and top 30 market. Look, not the longest guy off the tee, but he has just been so consistent with his finishes recently. T11, T8 at the Masters, T18 at the Valero. A lot of quality finishes for him. Got some other bombs on some guys who have been playing well recently in the top 30 market. Novak and Bud Cauley at longer prices. And how about I wrap up the rest on the other side?
Yeah, we can recap it later too. Also,
that too.
Yeah,
as well.
Kelly Bidlin, everybody, more bets than I imagined you had at Quail Hollow, beginning tomorrow. Golf second major of the year. Jason Weingarten on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG as in a numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Sort of read these tweets because you all are the best. I mean, just the most thorough tweets you can imagine. This is from Trip Tepper. Was talking about that Lakers job posting. He says $200,000 to $250,000 for a job with the Lakers is low. He said three things come to mind. One, California's massive tax burden.
Yeah, how did we not think of that? Yeah.
Two, overall high cost of living. Three, good luck buying a house in that market. Illustrates the Lakers' earned reputation for being cheap. Thank you, Tripp, for the very thorough response to that.
Plus, I'd love to know where that salary ranks among other NBA teams.
Well, right? That would be...
the Lakers need to be, especially with Luka Doncic.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a big job.
Like, I love Luka. I still think it was a great trade, but it's a thing. I'm not saying it's not a thing, his fitness. And
I'm going to guess that the Charlotte Hornets or the San Antonio Spurs job doesn't pay as much.
I'm going to guess that as well.
Yeah.
But like Lakers should be top five. I think it would be gross if they weren't top five.
Bobby Geddes, only an hour late here. He's listening back to the show. He's an hour behind. He says, obviously, I'm a salty Celtics fan right now, but I don't see how you can say the Celtics game was seconds away from over. And that the Tatum injury doesn't really affect the series. They were down 9 with 3 minutes left in these playoffs that is certainly not over. And if Tatum was healthy, they'd probably be plus 250 to win the series. That's not over, and I shall continue to complain. Hashtag first angry tweet. Well, to be accurate there, Bobby Geddes.
I like the hashtag.
Yeah.
Because Bobby really doesn't get angry.
Yeah, he doesn't get angry. He's a very nice guy. It was an 18-5 run with Tatum on the court that the Knicks, you know, put together there to go up 116-104 ultimately with 225 left. Listen, they, as you said, they were down 9 when he went off the court with 3 minutes left. I'm not sure if you're arguing that without him on the court, they were more likely to come back and win that game. My point being that when we're talking about these injuries in the NBA playoffs, while they are obviously, in the case of Tatum, it's just a sad injury because it's, you know, he's going to miss a year because of it. That I think it's, besides the Warriors losing Curry, I don't think that Cavs fans and Celtics fans can argue completely knowingly that those injuries affected them all. In the case of Tatum, I'm sorry, it was basically 3-1 with him on the court. And in the Cavs case, yeah, it's a little more nebulous because game two, you didn't have the three players, Hunter, Mobley, or Garland. You lost the 20-point lead. Okay, you can argue that one game, but I don't think you could argue anything else.
I think your wording, though, it definitely affected the series. The question is how much.
Which series?
The Cavs one. I will stand up for Cavs more than this.
It affected it, right? It affected it. But you cannot, as a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, claim that you would have won the series otherwise.
Correct. Yes.
And you certainly can if you're a Celtics fan. I'm sorry, Bobby. Now, the Warriors, on the other hand, I think you can just say, what's the point of even continuing, to be honest with you, based on what we've seen? Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia, an old database gone by the wayside. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing very well, sir. You looking good? Are you betting on the PGA Championship? Do you have golf bets already?
Are they going to tee off? I heard it was raining a lot yesterday. I was kind of worried that we're going to get too much rain and have a abbreviated tournament or have to go through Monday or something. But no, I haven't really paid much attention to it. I kind of expect Rory to win. Haven't really looked down the board for any big numbers yet. I'll probably wait for it to tee off this week.
What'd you bet in baseball today? Big day. 17 games.
You know, today is kind of interesting. You got six games today with over $2 favorites, including Patrick Corbin. Patrick Corbin should never be minus 220 at this stage in his career. But that just goes to show you how terrible the Rockies are and how little the Rockies are catching a bid by anyone or anything, you know, at this point in the season, which is quite odd. I don't know. The Rockies, I don't think I can bet them today, but I kind of want to. I mean, in what world is Patrick Corbin a minus 220 favorite for any living major league pitcher? I just can't wrap my head around that concept. But I start looking around the league today. I see six games, again, with $2 favorites. That's just crazy for this early in the season. I mean, we're barely 40 games into the season. So I'm kind of looking at a couple of these games, trying to see if there's any dogs that really stand out to me today. The A's are one of them. They're playing the Dodgers, that second game of a three-game series. They won the first game last night. It's Gunnar Hoglund versus Yamamoto. I actually bet the alt line on the A's minus 1.5 plus 345. I like that a lot. I think getting almost 3.5 to 1 on the A's versus the Dodgers is pretty compelling to me today. Otherwise, I'm looking at some of these big underdogs and seeing which ones I can kind of make a case for. And honestly, White Sox, Rockies, you know.
The poo-poo platter is what you're saying.
The Red Sox, maybe. What?
The poo-poo platter of teams. The White Sox, the Rockies. Yeah.
It's the grossest poo-poo platter you could possibly have on May 14th of a baseball season. The Rockies, every worst team is on my radar today. The Marlins. Ugh, the Marlins. Am I really going to bet on the Rockies and the Marlins and the White Sox on the same day? I don't think I am. I think that's just, you know, that's a waste of my time. So
a window into the mind. A window into the mind of Jason Weingarten. Jason has been obsessed with three different stories this past month. And I will, in no particular order, he was obsessed with the Shedeur Sanders slide in the NFL draft, as so many of us were. Has been really, really focused in on just this amazing Bill Belichick story going on, obviously, around the University of North Carolina program and his girlfriend and all the tentacles of that story in particular. And the NBA draft or draft lottery. Jason is on the side of it's not rigged. Why are all these people, you know, thinking that something like this is rigged? Is that an accurate representation of how you feel about the NBA draft lottery, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, it's more of the media sort of framing of it and how people are talking about these events more than my interest in it. Like, Shedeur was clearly, the perception and reality were just completely different things. Bill Belichick, the perception and the reality are just completely different things. And you're seeing some media companies kind of trying to spin it and not really want to approach it head on because it's a touchy subject. So I'm interested in the media's sort of handling of these situations. Same thing with the draft. I mean, everyone was just completely ready to declare it rigged, which, you know, it very well might be. I'm not going to say that I'm not going to listen to people's opinions and thoughts on these things, but you know, 1.8% chances win at stuff all the time. It wins in golf, it wins in horse racing. We don't bat our eyes, but when it happens in the NBA draft, everybody immediately jumps to stupid conspiracy conclusions.
Well, you're with me. I allow for the possibility. And the only reason I allow for the possibility is because of the history.
I allow for the possibility of anything.
Yeah.
You can allow for the possibility of anything.
Yeah, but usually I don't allow for the possibility because I think people who say things are rigged are generally ridiculous. But in this case, it's because of the history, right? Ewing to the Knicks, Rose to the Bulls, LeBron to the Cavs. The Pelicans getting rewarded after trading AD and Chris Paul, and then this one a couple days ago. But I want to get to the Belichick thing because this is the most like sports betting perhaps related of the bunch, because we don't know how the Shador thing will shake out from this point forward. Bill Belichick, let me just ask this. Do you think it's 100% that he will end up coaching North Carolina? Using the phrase allow for the possibility, do you think there's a scenario here where he never gets to the regular season?
Yes. I mean, look at the situation and take away Bill Belichick that you know. He's just been completely embarrassing himself for the last couple months. He had to go and hire a PR guy from the Chicago Bears to come in and be the guy there on site to spin everything because he's just thoroughly been embarrassing himself with his behavior for the last couple months, every opportunity he gets. He has this book that's come out. I don't know a single person that's purchased it. I don't know a single person that's read it. You have all this stuff with these videos being leaked. How many more videos are there? And the first one was him not wearing a shirt on a Ring camera. How much more embarrassing could these videos get? I certainly would not be surprised if there's more embarrassing content being held for compartment by this woman at this point. He's clearly being manipulated. Like I said last time, I hope his kids and his family have stepped in and have got the legal representation they need or whatever. But like I said, if this was my family, this would be handled much differently. It's quite embarrassing to watch from the outside and watching a coach like Belichick destroy his legacy. Very odd to watch. I don't think the story is far from over.
And whether he gets there or not, and let's assume he does, I just wonder if they get it's not an easy transition, and we're starting to hear like a little rumblings from other college, you know, lifer college coaches and those in the administrations or in the football programs, like maybe these guys are in over their heads when it comes to NIL and that kind of thing. 7.5 is their season win total, and I'm curious if you at some point are just going to keep pounding the under on something like that.
Yeah, I'll bet the under. I mean, for a coach who made his career on not having distractions and cutting every player who was a distraction, he's sure not practicing what he preaches all of a sudden. It's quite a scene to watch unfold. We'll see what happens.
Thank you, Jason.
I'm not optimistic.
JVT next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet the Preakness Stakes with First Bet. Get rewarded. New customers can use promo code VSiN200 to score 20% rebate on all wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. That's win or lose, you get paid back. Download the First Bet app or visit first.com/bet. Use promo code VSiN200 to get started today. That's first.com/bet. Promo code VSiN200. I just want to read this one tweet here, Kelly. 3JackH3131. Gil completely forgot about Jason's determination to validate 100 men could take out a gorilla this past month. We're all reasonable people, and we need Belichick to do the same and drop the girlfriend experience. Lombardi needs to step in, he says in caps.
It is. I'm sure. Every time I think I'm out on this story, something else comes up that brings me back in and out. I love that Pablo Torre's been all over it. We've had him on the show before. Love Pablo Torre. I've always enjoyed his work. But, like, it is dangerous when you deal with some of these journalists. They are real journalists who I know some of us might work for joke betting companies like DraftKings and stuff of sports books. He's still a journalist and he doesn't have much to lose right now, UNC. Like, he is not going to back away from this story at all.
Oop. We're about one development away from getting Pablo back on here.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
By the way, it's just so fast.
By the way, to your point there, 3Jack, I'm sure Lombardi has it all under control. I'm sure he's got it all under control. In studio, before he does 2 hours on Money Moves with Stormy, it's JVT to talk some NBA with us. Jonathan Von Tobel, baby, at MeJVT on Twitter, in studio. How you doing, man?
Good.
Thanks for coming in early.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm always here a little early anyway, so it's no problem. No problem.
So you just like come in.
Enjoying his coffee, prepping for a show.
I like to sit at the overhang. You know, they have the tables there, and I just kind of just chill, you know. take in the morning air, the blasting techno music at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Get a little video poker.
Kelly and I have never complained about that ever. In all it's our years
such,
doing this.
It's such at odds with the vibe of the morning.
It's like, oh, the vibe of the morning, oh yes.
God, it's 6 in the morning. Stop it. Okay, looking for a bet tonight, John. We're all in this VSiN Killer Sports Challenge. And, of course, the rest of the world is not. But we have mandatory picks to be made. So I want to look at it from a mandatory pick standpoint, where we got to fill 10 throughout the conference semifinals. And most of us have at least one or two picks left to play. Kelly's got 3 left, right? 3 left to play?
Yeah, 3.
I am having much difficulty at least coming up with one tonight in either of these two games. I'm curious what your thoughts are. Boston, 4.5-point favorites, game 5, looking to stave off elimination against the Knicks, down 3-1. And then, of course, the Warriors at Minnesota. Minnesota looking to just put the Warriors, the Stephless Warriors, away. We're showing 10.5. I'm seeing some 11s out there. I mean, T-Wolves are huge favorites here. Total's 203. Is there a bet for you either side or total?
So I've got one play left. And, I mean, my initial thought was kind of looking around is, I don't know, do you have a quarter that I can flip?
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe we could, like, decide in that way.
That's the problem.
This second round, I said it on the show yesterday, I feel like I'm just constantly playing catch-up on almost everything. In fact, like, I was going to, it didn't happen, but I was going to send a rage out text message to Kelly when the Cavaliers were up by, like, you know, 15, 16 points. I'm like, are we doing this again? Like, it makes no sense. Now, eventually, you know, they stayed inside of the number. Pacers did eventually win the game outright. I think we're starting to kind of find the level when it comes to the things we expect to happen should start to happen. So in other words, like, I think Minnesota, I laid 10 with Minnesota today. Now, obviously our contest is 11.5. So I don't think you want to go and play that, but the way that Minnesota has defended, it has been very consistent throughout the series. It's just their offense has been all over the place. But the one thing that I think that has really stuck out that I keep bringing up to Stormy since game one, where it was, speaking of coin flips, a coin flip for them at the rim, they have killed the Warriors within 4 feet of the basket. They have been getting to the basket. They're shooting nearly 70% within 4 feet of the basket. If these shots from beyond the arc start to fall at a higher rate, which you would think at least it's going to find its level there, and you're going to be able to shoot relatively well, you should be able to win and cover this sort of number at home against a Warriors team that has been really up against it. I also think the team total for Golden State under, again, another angle I talked about this with Will Hill yesterday on his podcast, something there, because again, without Steph Curry, they have absolutely lost. And I think it's something worth looking at here tonight, too.
See, it's interesting hearing you and Will both talk about that, because I think the bet I'm going to end up on tonight is Minnesota team total over.
Sure.
I think that's where I'm going to go and just kind of get these points out of there. Because I could still see a lower scoring game. Obviously, the total tells us that. But try to just take the points out of the equation. This is a big number to be like.
Yeah, I also think the over is an option, too. Like, to that point, again, with Minnesota going back home, you know, we get the old cliche of role players play better at home. So you would think that the ancillary pieces give you a little bit more in terms of scoring and efficiency. But you've also kind of what you're getting at, Kelly. The last game, we reached such a low point of the total for the series, like 199.5 in some spots, where I think now that we're at 203, again, expecting better offensive efficiency, because the numbers have been there. If you look at it, like cleaning the glass as a metric, location effective field goal percentage, what would this team's effective field goal percentage be if they shot league average from all the spots that they're shooting? It should be higher for Minnesota in this series. So I think maybe you can make the case for this game to go over the total as well.
What about Nuggets tomorrow night? They're trying to stay alive. Game 6 now down 3-2 after that thriller yesterday in OKC. Thunder 4.5-point favorites on the road.
To me, I think the Thunder close this out, and I think they can cover this number. There's a couple of things that stick to it, but one thing really sticks out when you look at yesterday, despite the really close game and obviously the way that Nikola Jokic played, one number really stuck out when you looked at the box score for Denver. The number was 46. That's how many three-point attempts they had in that game. They average low 30s in terms of three-point attempts. They cannot get inside the paint against the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you look at their frequency numbers in this series, nearly 40% of their attempts from beyond the arc are coming from, or excuse me, 40% of their attempts are coming from beyond the arc. In the regular season, that was 31%. Like, they are being forced to take so many more perimeter jumpers, because the one thing that Oklahoma State has done very well in this series is they have defended. Their offense has been all over the place. Yeah. You don't know what you're going to get. The ancillary pieces are not really performing outside of Lou Dort finally waking up yesterday for a stretch and turning into Ray Allen. But the one thing the Thunder have done really well is defend the Nuggets extremely well throughout this series. Offensive rating is abysmal. It's floating around like 102 or 103 for the series for the Denver Nuggets. They're shooting more perimeter shots. I think that continues as it has throughout this series, and I think that they're going to be able to go in. And by the way, should note too, we've been tracking this, and I think you guys have hit on this a couple of times too. Home court's been absolutely nothing in this postseason.
Yep.
Median average for home teams is one. Like when you're looking at that, or median result, I should say, not median average. Median result at home is 1 point. If you're talking about average net rating for home teams, it's barely three. That would be the lowest non-garbage time net rating for home teams since 2017, if that holds. This has really been one where I think home court has been overpriced at times, and I think you might be getting a little bit here too, but I think Oklahoma City is very valid to come in here and lay that number and get it done.
All right, let's do this thought exercise. Seven teams left, Cavs out, obviously. Thunder, the thought exercise is the Oklahoma City Thunder do not win the NBA championship.
Mm.
Okay. So of the six remaining teams, and I won't spot you any. I'll ask you to rank them. Of the six remaining teams, who then won the championship? Who is most likely to win the championship? Nuggets included, Celtics and Warriors included, everybody included of the remaining six.
I mean, I feel like, so if Oklahoma City, we're just saying they don't win the championship.
They don't win the championship. That means they could get knocked out here.
Right, yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
So then going with that, then I would probably say number one for me would be, I think by default, Minnesota, just because they would be one of the higher rated teams there left, and they have a very clear path to get to a Western Conference Finals and then, of course, maybe beyond. I think number two would be Indiana. I think that the Indiana Pacers have some very good depth. They have been playing very well on defense. Their offense has a very high floor. Like, you know what you're going to get with Indiana offensively. Their depth is great. They're second or third in bench scoring per game. They're going to be a team that I think is going to be a very big pain in the ass for the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Again, assuming that's it. We don't know if the Knicks are going to win that series yet. But I think those would be my one and two in that order. I think it'd be Minnesota. I think it'd be Indiana.
I think that I'm glad you asked it that way, Gil, because I think it would be, yeah, Wolves in Indiana for me, but slot them in at 2-3 because the way you phrased the question, that means I'll say if the Thunder are out, that means they lost this series, game six and game seven.
I'm with you. Sure. I would put Nuggets 1, Pacers 2, T-Wolves 3. And then the interesting part about the exercise is the Knicks still don't rate.
Yeah.
Right? The Knicks still come up to, for most people, as fourth in that. And then I guess you would have to go Celtics Warriors after that.
I'm just turned off by the lack of depth for New York. I want more. I want more of these guys to contribute off of the bench. They're one of the worst bench scoring teams in the field. Like, at some point, it has to matter that you get some sort of help from the pieces on this team. And to your point, like, I get it. Like, I thought about it only because, look, Jokic has been great. Yesterday was incredible. He scores 44 points.
Amazing.
He was awesome. The turnaround three at the top of the key.
Dude, the entire sports book is just losing its mind.
Right. But I think that they are so worn down. I think that this is a team too that only has like a 6 or 6.5 man rotation.
Yeah,
I greatness can only carry you so far when you're that shorthanded.
Well, see, like that's the other part of it, right, JVT? Like that's mattering a ton right now. In theory, if they got past OKC, you get a lot more rest baked into the schedule going into the conference finals, into the finals.
I mean, not that much though, because in this theory, really quickly, right, you're going to seven games. You got to win in seven, and then it's a quick turnaround to the start of a Western Conference Finals.
That's true.
That's interesting, because if I asked the same question knowing that the Nuggets had gotten through to the conference finals and I asked you to rank the four remaining teams, let's say it's Indiana, New York, Denver, and Minnesota, Denver would still not be number one for you.
No, I think they'd probably be two.
Okay.
Just because, again, I think the situation is better for Minnesota, but their depth and their rest.
Okay. Man, I don't care what others say, and I know the three of us are in agreement. It's been a great playoffs. Getting a bet in tonight, though.
There's no question that it's been a great postseason.
Yeah. Who are the people saying that it hasn't been?
Haven't been watching.
Haven't been watching. But there's people saying it. We'll come back. We'll recap the bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Alongside. You good?
I'm good, man.
Okay,
I'm just trying to recover from our break conversation, man. Going down memory lane. It is fun times.
Back down memory lane. We get tweets. Chance Copperpot. Do you think I could be a strength and conditioning coach if I'm not strong or conditioned? Might have to apply for the Sonics job.
You could apply for Luka Doncic's personal assistant. That probably works.
Apparently, Adam Silver will meet with all team owners in July to discuss the expansion to 32 teams in the NBA.
No, I thought we just did that like 2 months ago.
Is Adam Silver feigning interest in this now?
You and I were discussing this. They just had an owners meeting like a couple months ago. And one of the biggest stories is that the lack of information that came out about the expansion.
Adam Silver to date has always been more interested in like European stuff. Games in Europe than he has been in actual expansion.
And JVT, feel free to dunk on me here if I'm wrong with any of these facts, but there was the owners meeting and like the Seattle reporters, right? The whole idea is it's supposed to be expansion to 32 and it's supposed to be Seattle, Vegas will shake up conferences, right? So of course the Seattle reporters are like going nuts about give us information.
And to some degree, the Vegas folks do too.
Some degree, but obviously we know why Seattle missing the Sonics cares way more about it. So they've been going nuts, and they, you know, the biggest thing to come out of the last owners meeting is just like how they're going to get more involved with the whatever chaos is going on in the European leagues right now. It sounds like the NBA is just going to step in and take advantage of that chaos and kind of rebrand everything under the NBA flag. And it's every time they've met, it was Silver said in the past, like, hey, we got to get through this. We got to get through this. We got to get through this. And then we're going to talk expansion. Well, the last thing that was on that list, from what I remember, Gil, was the Celtics sale. And now that the Celtics sale is done, I don't really know what we're waiting for.
But that's the thing. Adam Silver has always then come up with a different priority to go ahead of the line of expansion.
And not that I'm like, we just talked about the draft lottery yesterday, right? There's a lot of crappy teams in basketball. I'm not an NBA fan that's beating the drum that we need 32, that I need two more teams all that badly. It's just weird.
Let me ask you this, though. If Vegas did get a team, would you try to get season tickets?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so would I. Brian, at Brian 933-0076. Did Jason, this is a great point. I almost said something, but I thought better of it. He said, did Jason poo-poo the PGA championship? Since when do they abbreviate a major golf championship because of weather? Yeah, I noticed that, too.
They'll get it all in somehow. I think his main point was he's worried about it starting on time tomorrow, which is fair.
Yes, but they never abbreviate it.
No, they're not abbreviating. Yeah.
Corbin,
even if
13.
It finishes next Wednesday, then we'll get it all in.
That's right. Good morning, guys. Wondering if you ended up getting to the Shooting Guards documentary yet.
Oh, gosh, stop bringing it up. No. I really want to watch it.
He's just wondering.
Yeah, I know.
Also, curious if you guys caught the pic. Oh, I did. Of Nicolas Cage playing John Madden in an up-and-coming movie. Not too sure what I think based off this picture. I'll tell you what I think. He just looks odd no matter what. You see this picture of Nicolas Cage as John Madden?
Yeah. Rob sent it to me earlier, too. I actually didn't know that. Well, that came out a while ago, right? Because wasn't there a shot taken while they were shooting it or something? And everybody's like, this is Nick Cage, like Madden. I didn't realize that Christian Bale is in it playing Al Davis, which is honestly as odd looking in the picture that I'm looking at.
Well,
it
doesn't even look like Christian Bale. Right. Whereas Nicolas Cage is like, come on, guys, we've got to win the Super Bowl.
That's the it's not so much the look. I want to hear how Nick Cage pulls off the matted voice.
Right. It's going to be so bad. Johnny Brock, the way Gil cuts his guests off when they're up against it is second to none. Thank you, Johnny Brock. It's a hard out. My bad. I don't know. I have to time it better with some guests. Some guests look at the clock, some don't.
Everybody has their moments. I love Dave Ross, so I'll call him out. He did it today to Adam Burke. It was kind of funny.
I heard it all the way in. He's like, thanks, Adam.
It was like zero time left. I was like, one more question for you. Oh, I gotta go. Sorry.
Thing is, it varies because if it's Dr. Bob, if it gets to 4 minutes and 30 seconds left, it's too late.
Yeah, you're sweating already.
It's too late.
These are the things you guys don't realize. Gil's got to think about. Yeah.
I'm just herding sheep is what I'm doing over here. Let's recap our best bets. G-Bank, courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSIN. Every host, every guest, every sport, every show. Recap by VSIN, or by G-Bank, I should say, the official bank of VSIN. Mine today, once again, the only one remaining here in tennis. Hit Coco Gauff earlier over Mira Andreeva in straight sets. I do have the over 21 games played in the Sabalenka-Zheng Xinwen match that is about to take place, about a little more than an hour from now. So over 21 games, as I mentioned, Sabalenka has dominated her thus far in their very small head-to-head competitions, but never have they played on clay. So I expect this to be a little more competitive. Over 21 games is the remaining play in tennis. Added more to Jackson Merrill NL MVP yesterday, 80-1, 51, and now 25-1. I'm building a rather large position on Jackson Merrill to be the National League MVP. Pacers series price cashed, the adjusted.
Cha-ching.
After game one, I put that in after they were up 1-0. We shall see if the Nuggets gets there. That was also placed after game one in that series. Obviously, that one not looking quite as good. Kelly by DeLon.
Yeah, it was funny. Actually, we're going to get to mine later because I'll run through all the golf.
Yes. Okay.
It was funny, though, because I did play that money line on the Pacers last night. I don't know if you heard me walk through that, but I was going to kind of martingale that of just like, if I lost, go right back to it.
Right.
But then you're like, you hit something like that, and you're like, well, yeah, but I should have bet more, right? Like,
should have bet more.
Oh, man.
Speaking of should have bet more, Will Hill's best bets on the show. That's the name of his podcast. He's on the Knickerbockers tonight, +4.5 points. Knicks tonight, +4.5 points at, what do they call it now? TD Garden? Is that what it is? The latest iteration of the Garden in Boston? Knicks +4.5 in what could be the end of the Celtics season. Talk about the number one seed Cavs already out. Could be the end of the number two Celtics. He's on the Knicks +4.5. He's on the Warriors team total under today in Minnesota, at Minnesota. Under 95.5 points for the Dubs. And he is also taking the T-Wolves minus the points. He's laying the wood. Laying 11 with Minnesota. Does A-Rod annoy you, by the way, as the owner?
Yeah. Always has. Yeah.
Why the coat and tie? Why the full suit? In baseball, he's on Tarek Skubal under 4.5 hits allowed in the Tigers game today, and he's on the Rangers on the run line, giving up the 1.5 there as well. Jason Weingarten had one play. We extracted this from him. The Athletics on the run line. Is that +340? That can't be right.
No, he's laying a run and a half.
Oh, he's laying the run and a half. Correct. Yeah. As the dog, +340 against the New York Yankees. New York Yankees. And then there's Kelly with the one basketball play.
Yeah, I got one. Just one small. I'm going to go team total over 106.5. Just place that here during the break. I'll be on that. And then I've got a bunch of PGA championship bets for you. How about all 20 of them here in less than 3 minutes? Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas in the outright markets. Covering those with top fives on Rory and Bryson, then a top 10 on Justin Thomas. You might ask, you might be asking, Kelly, why? Why are you doing it that way?
Well, hey, why are you doing it that way?
We don't have each way betting out there. If you have each way betting, I highly suggest you take advantage of it. Always shop around and check odds, make sure it's the right thing to be doing. But the way you could do that a little bit with the markets we have available is cover it with top fives. Given the price, I thought the price was just silly on Justin Thomas for top 10, so I went a little bit further back with him, +215 on his top 10. Top 20s, love both these guys this week, Xander Schauffele and Corey Connors. -115 on top 20 with Schauffele, 2-1 with top 20 on Corey Connors. Also played Connors in the top 30 market, along with Andrew Novak and Bud Cauley there. Those are two of the longer shots I'm getting involved with this week, Gil. And then Berger, I went back a step and I said, you know what, just make me top 40, Daniel Berger. You've been great ball striking this year. He doesn't have that distance off the tee to probably put himself into contention here this weekend. But man, the rest of the game has been so steady. I like a top 40 bet at -110 on him. As far as tournament matchups that I have played, and I might add one or two more here before we tee off tomorrow. Again, all of these can be found VSiN.com, Long Shots Podcast up wherever you download your podcasts, up on YouTube as well. Check it out. Xander Schauffele over Colin Morikawa. I also play Justin Thomas over Colin Morikawa. Not a huge fan of Morikawa this week, but I do think he should be priced further back against those two than that. JJ Spahn over Olesen, -124. Berger, -122 over Patrick Reed. Just don't think this is the course for Patrick Reed. Not Augusta. Jordan Spieth, -132 over Brooks Koepka. That is a matchup bet, Gil. I did not think I ever saw myself making ever on Spieth against Koepka, who has won me a lot of money before in the past. And then one little nationality prop, Corey Connors, top Canadian, +160.
All right. After Money Moves, by the way, when Stormy and JVT leave the studio, I'm going to do a podcast, Beating the Book podcast, the Q1, Major League Baseball Q1 Derivatives Pod, which Mark Borchard and I have done for over a decade now. We do Q1, Q2, Q3, all kinds of betting stats, full game, first fives, first inning stats that no one else has. So we'll do that after the show. By the way, the best bets, courtesy of GBank, brought to you by the GBank Visa Signature Card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. That's even when you put your own money on the card. GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're saving up to 3-5% on cash advance fees on gaming transactions right there. Also with GBank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all eligible purchases. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. NFL schedule full release tonight. We look forward to that. Money Moves next with Stormy Bonatoni, Jonathan Von Tobel, and Joy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.